Today, I'm pleased to make the largest deregulatory announcement in U.S. history.
Oh, what a drama queen. Trump EPA chief Lee Zeldin.
Well, I don't know why I came here tonight.
Whatever.
I got the feeling that something ain't right.
No, it ain't.
I'm so scared in case I fall off my chair. And I'm wondering how I'll get down the stairs. Clowns to the left of me, jokers to the right. Here I am, stuck in the middle with you.
I am. From Pacifica Radio in Los Angeles, this is The Bradcast, as heard on KPFK 90.7 FM in L.A., also in California in Red Bluff and Redding on KFOI and Round Mountains KKRN, up in Oregon on the Central Coast on KYAQ, Cottage Grove's KSO and Eugene's KEPW, Lanchester, Pennsylvania's W News, Maui, Hawaii's KAKU, in Columbus, Ohio on WGRN, Palinville, New York's WLPP, Rochester, New York's WRFZ, down in New Orleans on WHIV, out in Gallup, New Mexico on KNIZ, Concord, New Hampshire's WNHN, Fayetteville, Arkansas's KPSQ, in Seattle on KODX, Richmond, Virginia's WRWK, Fairmont, West Virginia's WEFR, Janesville, Wisconsin's WADR, and Minneapolis, St. Paul's AM 950 KTNF. We also stream coast to coast and around the globe every day on the internets, on the Progressive Voices channel, Netroots Radio, Radio for Humans, NicoleSandler.com, Radio Free Brooklyn, No Lies Radio, Detour Talk, and most of your favorite podcast sites. I'm Brad Friedman, your friendly investigative blogger, journalist, troublemaker, muckraker, and all-around swell fellow. From BradBlog.com, now celebrating 22 years of troublemaking and muckraking, many of them over your public airwaves. Thank you for joining us today for another thrilling edition of the Bradcast. We will get to a Lee Zeldin drama queen that you heard at the top of the show there, EPA Chief Lee Zeldin. We will get to him in a little bit.
Oh, yes.
I know you're looking forward to that, Desi
Doyen. Oh, yes.
But we start with a follow-up to a story that we covered yesterday regarding the budget showdown drama in the U.S. Senate. Now, I'm going to try to be quick about it today. Wish me luck, since many of our listeners who are hearing today's show tomorrow may know more about how this all resolved than we do, since the deadline for a government shutdown is currently 1 minute after midnight on Friday, as I understand it. So if it shuts down, which is now largely a question of if Democrats are willing to vote no on cloture to end debate on the Republican plan to adopt a continuing resolution to essentially keep the government open on under current spending levels, largely current spending levels until September, when the GOP will then present their full budget for the fiscal year 2025, which is expected to include draconian cuts to all sorts of government services like Medicaid in order to pay for huge tax cuts to wealthy millionaires, billionaires, and corporations. Well, if Democrats are willing to vote no, to refuse to end debate, well, then there may be a government shutdown beginning on Friday. Now, briefly, on Tuesday, the Republican House passed this continuing resolution first to keep the government open until September on a very, very narrow partisan vote, as Democrats stayed united to vote against this bill. It passed nonetheless. After a passage, Republicans declared a recess from the House in order to leave town as quickly as they could to purposely force the U.S. Senate to have to approve the Republican version of the bill that was passed by the House, or else risk shutting down the government by the weekend. On Wednesday, as we reported yesterday, after a private debate among their own caucus, Democrats in the Senate, who really do not want to be seen as the ones shutting down the U.S. government, since that's what they have always blamed Republicans for doing, Well, they emerged from that caucus meeting to declare that they did not have the votes to help out Republicans. Sorry about that. To help Republicans to end debate, invoke cloture, as it's officially known, in order to move on to a final vote. Now, invoking cloture requires 60 votes in the U.S. Senate. It's stupid, but that's the rule for now. That's the filibuster. And Republicans only have 53 seats in the U.S. Senate. Also, Rand Paul, Republican from Kentucky, has said he's a no. So, in fact, Republicans will need help from at least 8 Democrats to move their plan forward. They will need 8 yes votes to invoke cloture and end debate in order to move forward with their scheme. Now, Democrats said, sorry, can't help you out for the time being. But we might vote to end cloture if you allow us to vote on a cleaner, only 1 month continuing resolution, or CR, without the gifts in it for Donald Trump, in order to allow bipartisan negotiations in the Senate to continue on a full budget bill to be brought up in April instead. But, and here's where it got hinky, sort of after we got off air yesterday, after we had reported that much. Democrats didn't seem to be saying no to cloture outright. They seemed maybe to be saying that they might give Republicans enough yes votes for cloture to end debate if they were allowed to at least vote on an amendment or two, specifically on that 1 month CR as an amendment to the Republican plan. Of course, they would lose that vote. But they could tell constituents, hey, we Democrats tried to stop Donald Trump and those rogue Republicans, but, you know, we just don't have the votes to really stop them. Now, some folks covering this were quite skeptical about whether Democrats, you know, really planned to put up a fight here or not, especially since winning the fight would mean shutting the government down, even though it would be shutting it down because Republicans refuse to include Democrats in any way in their plans for this CR, even while asking Democrats for the votes to help pass it. On Thursday morning, however, it actually looked like maybe, just maybe, Democrats might actually be serious about voting no to end debate, even if it did lead to a government shutdown. Here was Democratic Oregon Senator Jeff Merkley on Thursday.
Here's what I'm aware of, and that is in history, as you see institutions degrade in republics, when there's an authoritarian president, it is because the courts cave and you get an acquiescent legislature. And the best time to take on a tyrant is as early as possible. And this is the moment. We have the leverage as a Democratic caucus to insist on negotiations to produce those bills onto the floor, those appropriation bills onto the floor. This is the moment to use that leverage. I think the concerns about the Republicans shutting down the government, because it will be the Republicans that do it, it will hurt them politically, it will be bad policy, and we will get back to using our leverage in an effective fashion.
So that's the argument from Democrats, those who are saying we need to vote no here, let the government shut down if that happens. We will see if a shutdown happens. As noted at the top, some of you folks listening to the show on Friday may already know how this story turned out. We may be in a government shutdown right now for listeners on Friday or over the weekend if Democrats stayed unified, or they might have caved by now. You guys know I don't. In either case, Democrats got some additional ammunition to stay strong, and this is important, on Thursday from the people most directly affected by a government shutdown. That would be government workers, specifically government workers represented by AFGE, the largest federal workers union, which wrote a letter to Democrats on Thursday saying essentially stay strong. The government is already essentially shut down, they were saying, given the massive cuts and layoffs by the Trump administration. So an official government shutdown won't be much worse. As Talking Points Memo's Josh Marshall, who's been one of the loudest advocates for Democrats to stick together to vote against helping Republicans by voting for cloture, he obtained this letter. He reported on Thursday that federal workers obviously don't like government shutdowns. Most of them are furloughed. Others are forced to continue working without pay. But in a letter addressed to members of the Senate, the head of what I believe, he says, is the country's biggest federal government employee union, the American Federation of Government Employees, or AFGE, asks senators to vote no on the House-produced continuing resolution and says that a shutdown is actually preferable to passing that bill. Quote, AFGE is particularly struck that even as the Senate prepares to debate and vote on the continuing resolution, the Trump administration has announced its intention to effectively destroy the Department of Education, regardless of whether Congress approves or disapproves of that decision, the letter reads. It also says they categorically reject the idea that voting against the CR means voting for a shutdown. They then go on to discuss that the administration just unilaterally canceled the collective bargaining agreement with TSA workers and declared that the agency was now union-free. Not making many friends among union working people. So with or without a shutdown, the Trump government is, you know, running roughshod over workers already, whether it's shut down or not. As the union writes to Democratic senators, quote, with thousands of federal workers either fired, placed on administrative leave, or at immediate risk of losing their jobs, AFGE members have concluded that a widespread government shutdown has been underway already since January 20 and will continue to spread whether senators vote yes or no on H.R. 1968. Under the current continuing resolution passed last December, federal workers are being treated no better than they will be if government funding ceases as of Friday night. Yes, the union writes, it is true that workers who have not yet been fired are at least drawing a paycheck for now. But if H.R. 1968 becomes law, a measure that ignores the administration's brazen refusal to carry out duly enacted laws of Congress and further erodes Congress's power of the purse, AFGE knows that DOGE will dramatically expand its terminations of federal workers and double down on its campaign to make federal agencies fail because there will be nothing left to stop the administration for the balance of the fiscal year 2025, if ever. Now, Josh Marshall has been arguing for several days, maybe weeks at this point, that Democrats should not go along with Republicans here, should not help Republicans here, unless there is something in that bill that basically tells the Trump administration, end the lawlessness, that we will only continue to fund the government if the lawlessness stops.
And it's interesting that AFGE, the Federal Employees Union, says, yes, stop the tyrant, just like Merkley was saying.
Writing in response to that letter, Josh Marshall writes, quote, it's really saying something that the people who take the biggest hit from a shutdown, federal workers, are saying it's better to risk a shutdown than vote for this bill. Now, again, some listeners may already know how this story ended, how it played out. Either way, though, I thought it was worth sort of placing on record that the Senate Democrats have a lot of support from the largest federal workers union in the country for standing up against Republicans and the Trump administration and Elon Musk and DOGE if they vote no on cloture, disallowing Republicans to overcome the filibuster in order to allow six more months of this madness and lawlessness without at least including measures that somehow put the brakes on this unprecedented, rampant violation of the federal law by Donald Trump and Elon Musk and the Doge bros. And make no mistake, what they are doing is illegal. as one federal judge after another has determined in case after case after case, as we are seeing yet again out of a federal district court in California on Tuesday, in a case, by the way, brought by this same union. This court has ordered thousands of federal workers unlawfully fired by the administration to be put back to work. Federal judge has ordered half a dozen federal agencies to, quote, immediately reinstate so-called probationary employees who were fired last month as part of the Trump administration's effort to rapidly shrink the federal workforce, calling the effort, the judge called the effort, a, quote, sham. The preliminary injunction issued from the bench on Thursday by U.S. District Judge William Alsup requires the Department of Veterans Affairs, Department of Agriculture, Department of Defense, Department of Energy, Interior, Treasury, all to rehire thousands of previously and unlawfully laid off employees. Immediately, the judge said that he might extend the order to cover other federal agencies at a later time. Judge Alsup said he was making the ruling because he believes the Office of Personnel Management, or OPM, unlawfully directed the agencies earlier this year to lay off the probationary employees who generally have been on the job for less than a year or so. So because of that, because they're so-called probationary employees, there are fewer, but not zero reasons why they can be fired. Moreover, I should note that not all so-called probationary workers are actually new government hires. Many of them are longtime civil servants who may have either moved from one department to another or just received a promotion, so are temporarily on probationary status.
Like several senior scientists at NOAA who were just moved into those positions but have been with the agency and are experienced scientists.
Oh, no, they're brand new, probationary, there's no rules, we can fire them. That was what the...
Stupid and wasteful.
Not waiting for a written order, the judge ruled from the bench, quote, the court finds that the Office of Personnel Management did, in fact, direct all agencies to terminate probationary employees with the exception of mission-critical employees, he said, rejecting arguments from the Justice Department, the Trump Justice Department, that OPM merely issued guidance to the agencies that then led to the firings. It was previously determined, in fact, that OPM has no actual legal authority to fire workers at federal agencies other than OPM. They can't, the Office of Personnel Management cannot fire workers at other agencies. If workers are to be laid off, they must be laid off by the actual government agency where they work. That must be the agency doing the firing. The Trump administration then tried to pretend, no, OPM did not send out orders to fire those workers. In fact, those instructions, they were just guidance, recommendations, thoughts for your consideration to consider doing themselves. The judge did not buy that. And pronounced his order to reinstate the workers was effective immediately on Thursday, noting, quote, this is the order and it counts. We'll see if it counts. The ruling came in a case that was brought by, yes, labor unions, including AFG, who sent that letter to Democrats on Thursday about keeping the government open or not, and others challenging OPM's role in the firings, which affected thousands of employees, sent shockwaves through various federal agencies, some of which later rehired some of those very same workers. Since Trump began dismantling the federal government and the constitutional order, just minutes after taking the oath of office, some 50 long days ago, back in January. Judge Alsup was highly critical of the administration's justification for firing the employees. OPM had provided agencies with a template termination letter that cited the employees', quote, performance for the reason that they were being let go. But the judge said that rationale was the government's attempt to end-run federal law setting up very specific rules for reducing the federal workforce. You can fire someone for doing a lousy job, but you can't claim they are being fired for performance reasons without showing evidence of their poor performance, especially as most of those fired had excellent job evaluations from their superiors. He added, quote, "It is a sad day when our government would fire some good employee and say it was based on performance when they know good and well that's a lie," said the judge. Quote, "That should not have been done in our country. It was a sham in order to try to avoid statutory requirements." Alsup's ruling is one of the most significant yet in cases testing the administration's authority to quickly reduce the number of federal employees, reports CNN. A similar case brought by Democratic state attorneys general is now pending in Maryland. In response, the White House called the ruling, quote, "absurd and unconstitutional." As if they give a damn about the U.S. Constitution, much less the simple rule of law, much less well-established federal workforce requirements, contract laws, worker rights, etc. Quote, "A single judge is attempting to unconstitutionally seize the power of hiring and firing from the executive branch," argued White House, don't laugh at her, argued White House Press Secretary Karoline Leavitt in a statement posted on Elon Musk's social media site. "The president has the authority to exercise the power of the entire executive branch. Singular district court judges cannot abuse the power of the entire judiciary to thwart the president's agenda," she said, projecting what is likely to be their argument that Trump will shop to his corrupted U.S. Supreme Court in the coming days. Quote, "If a federal district court judge would like executive powers, they can try and run for president themselves," said Leavitt, suggesting that a president can do anything he damn well pleases. Rule of law, constitution, and everything else just be damned, I guess. And frankly, given the Supreme Court's absurd ruling last July that presidents may not be held to account for criminal actions that they carry out while in office, well, she could turn out to be right, given that our corrupted Supreme Court has already issued orders for things, you know, that are just nowhere that are nowhere to be found in the Constitution, and obviously that are in strict contrast with the intentions of its framers. So good news out of that court in California on Friday. We will see if it holds up once it gets to the corrupted Supreme Court. For now, however, for today, for workers and for fans of the rule of law, well, this was a very welcome ruling. The decision came after the judge just unloaded on the Justice Department for not making the acting head of the Office of Personnel Management actually available to testify about the Trump administration's decision to fire scores of probationary employees. He had ordered acting OPM Director Charles Ezell to testify during Thursday's hearing, where he would likely have faced tough questions from attorneys representing the labor unions that are challenging all of this. But the Justice Department refused to make this guy available to answer any questions. Instead, they had just put in a declaration from him. The judge was having none of that. No, if he's going to put in a declaration, he's got to come here and answer questions about it. So the DOJ withdrew the declaration that they had submitted last month that had served as the government's only evidence in this case. Judge Alsup told the DOJ attorney, Kelsey Helen, quote, "You're afraid to do so because you know cross-examination will reveal the truth. I tend to doubt that you're telling me the truth," said the judge.
Never a good day in court when the judge says that to you.
No. Alsup is a Bill Clinton appointee. He told the DOJ attorney Thursday, quote, "You can't just say, here's a declaration. You have to accept it without question when there is a question," the judge said. "You're not helping me get at the truth. You're giving me press releases, sham documents," the judge said, referring to the documents that were submitted by the DOJ to the court that they say show how the agencies were making the termination decisions themselves. It was their own decision, not OPM. The declaration from Ezell said that OPM did not direct other agencies to terminate probationary employees. Central issue in the case that was brought by the labor unions, they were merely offering friendly suggestions. One former probationary employee who was fired last month from the IRS, one of the agencies within the Treasury Department, told CNN that he and his colleagues were thrilled with Thursday's ruling. Quote, "Everyone on the group chat is celebrating," the former IRS employee, former and maybe reinstated IRS employee said, referring to a text chat where former colleagues have been consoling each other in recent weeks, as well they should. "It is a very good day for them. Celebrate while you still can, at least until the next shoe drops. In this cold civil war between those who support the rule of law and those like Donald Trump and Elon Musk and the Republican Party who clearly do not." All right, let's take a quick break here. We will come back with more, as promised, on our friend Lee Zeldin, the new chair of the EPA. I know Dez is a fan of his. and the lies that that he is telling to the American people,
lies.
And what the truth actually sounds like, just as Judge Alsup is calling for. Hope you will join me in that call. That's straight ahead on the broadcast. I'm Brad Friedman. Don't touch that dial.
Five major corporations now control more than 80% of the media in the United States, but they don't control us. The broadcast and the Green News Report are 100% independent, 100% listener-supported. But we can't do it alone. We need you. Please help us bring real facts to listeners at independent stations around the nation. You can make a difference. Support independent media. Drop by bradblog.com/donate. That's bradblog.com/donate. And thanks.
Are you looking for someone to do some dirty deeds for you? Done dirt cheap? I got just the guy. That would be the new EPA administrator, Lee Zeldin. Welcome back to the broadcast. Brad Friedman from bradblog.com. All right, our latest Green News Report is coming up in a little bit, but it's only 6 minutes. Sorry, Des. And since there were just a bunch of breaking news headlines pounding in on Wednesday that you might have seen regarding the Trump EPA and rolling back their plan to roll back dozens of Biden and Obama era health, safety, and environmental regulations. And since we couldn't adequately respond to it all in our Green News Report, only 6 minutes, sorry, Des, I wanted to take a little bit more time to sort of do so here. And while many were probably freaking out at those headlines on Wednesday as they were coming in about the EPA, it needs to be said, because I don't think if you read just the headlines that it was clear that these are not actual rollbacks to all of those Biden and Obama era regulations. They are plans. They are hopes. They are intentions to reverse, yes, more than 30 regulations that make us safer and healthier, et cetera. They want to undermine those, but they are, for now, just plans, intentions, and hopes. The Trump EPA wants to roll back laws and regulations that help you live longer and healthier and, yes, save money. But it will be a long and brutal fight for them that they will face in attempting to do so, as regulations require a lengthy process to change, including a public comment period if you want to overturn them, and a showing of why they need to be overturned and how overturning will actually help improve enforcement of the laws that those regulations are meant to enforce. Is that a fair way to describe the process,
Des? Yeah, that there are procedures by law that have to be followed.
And there will be legal battles to that end every step of the way. So first, no, the EPA is not reversing all of the things that many headlines yesterday made it sound like the Trump administration was reversing. They are announcing plans to do so, hopes to do so. And their tool to lead the way is the newly sworn in EPA administrator, former Republican congressman and failed New York State gubernatorial candidate, Lee Zeldin.
Emphasis on tool.
And fail. He announced his plans with a 2-minute video and an opinion piece in the Wall Street Journal, an essay in the journal on Wednesday. And I would play the video for you in full, but it's so full of misleading stuff and nonsense that I would rather walk through his Wall Street Journal piece sort of piece by piece to help you understand the lies, the blizzard of lies, and, well, literal gaslighting that Zeldin is hoping to pull off here in what is essentially a litany of longtime Republican and fossil fuel industry dreams come to life. So working from and augmenting AP's coverage in what he called the, quote, most consequential day of deregulation in American history, drama queen and new head of the EPA, Lee Zeldin, announced a series of actions Wednesday to roll back landmark environmental regulations, including rules on pollution from coal-fired power plants, climate change, and electric vehicles. Quote, "We are driving a dagger through the heart of climate change religion and ushering in America's golden age," Zeldin wrote in the essay in the Wall Street Journal. Now, note that line about environmental concerns, particularly about climate change, being a religion. That goes straight back to Rush Limbaugh days when he decried the science of climate change not to be a science, but to be a religion by left-wing radical climate kooks who, you know, taking science as faith as opposed to the actual facts that he, Rush Limbaugh, was dishing out to millions of Americans every day over our public airwaves as they were being fed to him by the fossil fuel industry, for whom he and later Fox News and later the entire Republican Party was then and is now still working.
Yes, it's an ancient, ancient denier talking point that is literally directly funded by the fossil fuel industry.
If approved, writes AP helpfully, after a lengthy process that includes a public comment period, and I will add undoubtedly dozens of lawsuits, the Trump administration's actions will eliminate trillions of dollars in regulatory costs and hidden taxes, Zeldin lied, lowering the cost of living for American families and reducing prices for such essentials such as buying a car, heating your home, and operating a business. Sure, buying a car with lower gas mileage might be more inexpensive, I guess, up front, but you will pay for it for the rest of your days in the higher cost of gas and by the additional pollution and damage that causes forever. In the meantime, the Biden administration adopted rules that will allow you to save money in the heating of your home and operation of your business, which Zeldin and Trump hope to roll back and tell you they are saving you money when they are, well, really peeing down your back and telling you that it is raining. Now, Des, you and I have talked about that when he talks about hidden taxes, where are the real hidden taxes when it comes to all of this?
The real hidden tax is pollution. Pollution is a tax on American families, and they pay for it with their lives and with their health. When you consider that all of these regulations that benefit the fossil fuel industry and polluting industries. What they're basically doing is saying, hey, don't regulate me, and we'll just push that burden of pollution off onto the American people. So the American people get taxed, and the fossil fuel industry and other polluters don't have to pay for what they are polluting.
You mean like the raise in everyone's home insurance costs now around the country because we've got so many fires and floods? The cost of rebuilding the Palisades and Altadena out here in Los Angeles thanks to the recent wildfires that were fueled by climate change? That sort of tax that we all pay?
All the children with asthma for the rest of their lives? Yeah.
Quote, our actions will also reignite American manufacturing, spreading economic benefits to communities, Zeldin wrote. Energy dominance stands at the center of America's resurgence. Now, in fact, America is already energy dominant, thanks to the Biden administration, for good or ill, under whose administration the U.S. actually, it might have been the Obama administration, as I recall, the U.S. became the number one producer of energy. So America already has resurged, at least in that regard. Moreover, under a bunch of Biden policies, American manufacturing, as Zeldin was citing, was already reignited with record investments in U.S. manufacturing and growth.
Yeah, $350 billion in investments just in the last 2 years of the Biden administration, thanks to the Inflation Reduction Act and the CHIPS Act and the infrastructure law.
Correct. And by the way, the Inflation Reduction Act passed only with Democratic votes. So who's really concerned about America's resurgence when it comes to manufacturing and so forth? In all, Zeldin said he's rolling back 31 environmental rules. He's not rolling them back. He's hoping to roll them back. He's going to try to roll them back, including a scientific finding that has long been central, the central basis for U.S. action against climate change, the so-called endangerment finding. Zeldin said that he and President Trump support rewriting the agency's 2009 scientific finding that planet warming greenhouse gases endanger public health and welfare. The Obama era determination, as AP describes it, under the Clean Air Act, is the legal underpinning of a host of climate regulations for motor vehicles, power plants, and other pollution sources. I guess it is sort of an Obama-era determination. But in fact, the determination, as I recall, that carbon pollution is a danger to the health and safety of the public was actually made by the EPA during the George W. Bush administration. But in order to avoid the Supreme Court's requirement to act on any such endangerment finding at the time under the Clean Air Act, the Bush administration famously refused to open the email from the EPA that included their finding. It wasn't until, and it was for years, it was sitting there in the inbox. They wouldn't open it. So what? We don't know anything about any scientific, what endangerment finding? It wasn't until President Obama came to office that he accepted the EPA's scientific finding that, yes, carbon pollution endangers Americans, requiring then the administration to take action on it as ordered by the Supreme Court in a case called Massachusetts v. EPA, 2007.
Yes.
That mandated that if carbon pollution was in fact found by the EPA to be a danger to society, the EPA not only could act on it, but must. It must be regulated under the Clean Air Act, first signed by Lyndon B. Johnson and then updated by Jimmy Carter and then updated again in a major way by George Bush Sr., by the way. Environmentalists and climate scientists call the endangerment finding a bedrock of U.S. law and say that any attempt to undo it will have little chance of success. And I hope they are right, but we will see. Said David Doniger, the climate expert at the National Resource Defense Council, an environmental group, quote, in the face of overwhelming science, it's impossible to think that the EPA could develop a contradictory finding that would somehow stand up in court. So they can announce they're going to roll back the EPA's endangerment finding if they want, but they're going to have to find legitimate scientists and scientists who are willing to not only sign off on such a finding, but present actual evidence to support that finding. Good luck. Unless, of course, the corrupt U.S. Supreme Court merely changes their precedential ruling from 2007, and I would not put it past them. But if not, it's a pretty recent finding. They're going to have to actually come up with some science to say, well, the EPA has taken another look at it, and lo and behold, carbon is not dangerous to society. Oops. In a related action, Zeldin said EPA will rewrite a rule restricting air pollution from fossil fuel-fired power plants previously meant to enforce the Clean Air Act under the Massachusetts VEPA ruling, and a separate measure restricting emissions from cars and trucks. Zeldin and the Republican president incorrectly label the car rule as an electric vehicle mandate, notes AP.
Thank you, AP. There is no electric vehicle mandate. I don't know how many times or how many thousands of times you have to say it.
When you hear Trump talking about ending the EV mandate, well, this is what he's talking about. There's no federal mandate requiring cars to be electric. The mandate he's talking about is one that requires cleaner cars that give drivers higher mileage and give off less deadly pollution. You may be against such a requirement, but it is not an EV mandate. And it is meant, actually, to limit pollution that kills people and exacerbates our ongoing climate crisis. You might be okay with that. You might want worse, lower gas mileage and dirtier air and water. That's fine if that's what you want, but make no mistake, that is what Zeldin and Trump and Republicans are, in fact, fighting for and declaring to be a new golden age for America. President Joe Biden's Democratic administration had said the power plant rules would reduce pollution and improve public health while supporting the reliable long-term supply of electricity that America needs. And by the way, they couldn't just declare that. They, too, had to go through the rules process. They, too, had to present the science to demonstrate the evidence that, yes, these rules would, in fact, reduce pollution and improve public health. Whether they were right about supporting reliable long-term supplies of electricity that America needs, well, I guess that remains to be seen. But the rules definitely measurably reduce pollution. Some of us think that's a good idea. Maybe you don't. Okay. But that is what we are talking about here. So please understand that.
Yeah. And a really important thing about rolling back the coal plant mercury pollution standards. Coal-fired power plant mercury pollution is the direct cause of mercury contamination in fish. In all U.S. waters, nearly all fish have been contaminated with mercury, and they now have the science that shows that it comes directly from coal-fired power plants. That's what Zeldin and Trump want to withdraw.
More mercury in your fish.
Yep.
Now, Biden, who made climate change a hallmark of his presidency, cited the car rule as a key factor in what he called historic progress on his pledge that half of all new cars and trucks sold in the U.S. will be zero emissions by 2030. Would you be required to buy one under that plan? No. Remember, there is no mandate, but you can if you choose, and driving one makes life on Earth better for everyone. The EPA, also, according to Zeldin, also will, as Des noted, take aim at rules restricting industrial pollution of mercury and other air toxins and soot pollution. Do you want more mercury and soot pollution? Well, if so, you will love Trump's new golden age. Congrats. Zeldin also claims that he wants to end something called the good neighbor rule. The rule restricts, for example, smokestack emissions that burden downwind areas with smog. In other words, while Texas can set its own requirements for smokestack pollution as it likes, if that smog, that smoke blows into a neighboring state, it's no longer just Texas's problem. Thus, the federal government claims the right under the Good Neighbor Rule to regulate which poisons can be sent by air and water to other states. When Lee Zeldin wants to end the Good Neighbor Rule, that's what he wants to end. Got it? Again, you may favor it, but that's what it is. The EPA also targeted a clean water law that provides federal protections for rivers, streams, and wetlands. Are you against clean water in rivers, streams, and wetlands? Have I got a golden age for you? Helpfully, AP explains the celebrations from Fox News and declarations that Trump has now succeeded in saving the world. With this notwithstanding, none of the changes take effect immediately, and nearly all will require a long rulemaking process. Notes AP, adding that environmental groups vowed to oppose the actions, which one said would result in, quote, the greatest increase in pollution in decades, or, as Desi might say, the greatest increase in taxes in decades. Amanda Leland, executive director of the Environmental Defense Fund, made the claim about that as she denounced Zeldin's, quote, unlawful attack on the public health of the American people. The EPA has also terminated its diversity, equity, and inclusion programs and will shutter parts of the agency focused on the environmental justice, according to Zeldin. The effort strives to improve conditions in areas heavily burdened by industrial pollution, mostly in low-income and majority Black or Hispanic communities. We've reported on that quite a bit on the show in recent days, but Desi, do you want to quickly summarize that again so that it sinks in for people?
Oh, yeah. The lawsuit that was withdrawn against a Louisiana plastics manufacturer that has been poisoning south of Baton Rouge for decades, literally decades. There's a whole corridor of petrochemical factories that have been polluting that area, and unfortunately, the DOJ has withdrawn that suit and said that, well, you know, that's a DEI thing. We don't protect people who are DEI.
What a woke indictment that was. We want you to stop giving people cancer, but the people happen to be, you know, Black and Hispanic. So now it's a woke suit. Now it's a DEI suit. We're going to withdraw it. Please proceed, sir. Please proceed with your pollution and your cancer-causing chemicals. Zeldin said this isn't about abandoning environmental protection. Yes, it is. It's about achieving it through innovation and not strangulation. Who is being strangulated here? The fossil fuel industry, maybe, which is still the most profitable industry in the history of humanity? Is that who's being strangled? Yeah. It's the fossil fuel industry, as Zeldin continued, quote, by reconsidering rules that throttled oil and gas production and unfairly targeted coal-fired power plants, we are ensuring that American energy remains clean, affordable, and reliable. Throttled? Throttled them into the most production in the world and in their history? Except for coal, which is still available, but nobody wants it. Because nobody likes mercury in their fish. The directive to reconsider the endangerment finding and other EPA rules was, as you may have guessed it, a recommendation of Project 2025, the Republican blueprint for Trump's second term that Trump pretended to reject and to know nothing about when it was reported on during the campaign. The Trump administration's ignorance is trumped only by its malice toward the planet, argued Jason Rylander, legal director at the Center for Biological Diversity's Climate Law Institute. Come hell and high water, raging fires and deadly heat waves, Trump and his cronies are bent on polluting, on putting polluter profits ahead of people's lives, he said. And whether you like Trump's policies here or not, it's kind of hard to disagree with that. Especially since neither Trump nor Zeldin have shown how any of these plans, if they are allowed to move ahead, actually make lives better for Americans. Well, that's not entirely true. Trump told us that if we use solar or wind power, then we wouldn't be able to watch TV at night when the sun is not shining or when the wind was not blowing, and that windmills cause cancer. But does even MAGA believe that? Also, by the way, that windmills kill birds, which is true. They do kill some, not as many as house cats do each year. Or since we're talking about Donald Trump.
The oil and gas industry, too.
Oh, well, I was going to mention high-rise buildings.
Not true.
Kill more birds than do windmills. Reconsidering the endangerment finding and other actions won't stand up in court, said Rylander. We're going to fight it every step of the way. The U.S., AP notes, is the second largest carbon polluter in the world after China, even though we are the largest per capita polluter and the largest historical emitter of greenhouse gases. Yes, we did this, and we should do something about it. It does not require being a member of a religion to feel that way. It requires just having morals. Anyway, this was lauded by some people, the American Exploration and Production Council. Yes, the fossil fuel industry. They hailed Zeldin's decisions. They said, quote, the U.S. is stronger and more secure when we are energy dominant. Well, good news, Anne. We already are. You're welcome. Every day, more Americans lose their jobs, homes, and even their lives to worsening climate disasters, said New Jersey Congressman Frank Pallone, a top Democrat on the House Energy and Commerce Committee. He called Zeldin's actions, quote, a despicable betrayal of the American people. Trump and Zeldin are, quote, making a mockery of those people's pain, Pallone noted, adding that, quote, that will have swift and catastrophic ramifications for the environment and health of all Americans. But yay, more coal and mercury and toxins and fires and floods and cancers and expensive gas. Welcome to America's golden age. Or not. That is up to all of us if we push back unabashed, unafraid, and armed with, yes, the truth. Speaking of, let's get to it. Our latest Green News Report.
The biggest thing here to note is that most of the things that Zeldin said that he wants to roll back are things that actually improve environmental protection and public health.
Trump EPA announces plans to make America polluted again.
The previous administration's policy was focused myopically on climate change.
Trump Energy Secretary vows to reverse U.S. climate progress. Plus, climate whiplash is hammering major cities around the world, study finds.
All of those findings and more straight ahead from BradBlog.com. I'm Brad Friedman.
And I'm Desi Doyen.
Stand by for 6 minutes of independent green news, politics, analysis, and snarky comment.
Of course, no one has caused more chaos than Elon Musk's Doge and his geek Gestapo in only... That is the sound of Tesla sales plummeting.
Love that sound. This is your Green News Report.
I'm gonna soak up the sun.
Okay, Desi Doyen, everybody's talking about what the Trump EPA is going to do, but the fact is they can't actually do it, at least not immediately. It's going to be a long, hard fight.
This is true. Lee Zeldin, the Trump Environmental Protection Agency administrator, announced plans this week to roll back dozens of key public health and climate change policies, including rules that reduce toxic pollution from vehicles, power plants, industry and manufacturing, wastewater from coal plants, and climate warming emissions, in a major blow to America's progress on clean air, clean water, and climate action.
If it is ever allowed to take effect.
CNN reports that Zeldin's plans will inject even more uncertainty into key U.S. industries and domestic manufacturing. In a Wall Street Journal essay, Zeldin said he will also try to overturn EPA's landmark scientific finding that climate pollution endangers public health, which provides the legal basis for federal climate policies. The Union of Concerned Scientists said the planned rollbacks would sacrifice human health for the benefit of private industry. Now, of course, these are still just plans, but environmental law groups vow to challenge every single rollback in court.
Good.
Meanwhile, a new study warns that climate whiplash is already hitting major cities around the world, with increasingly frequent and deadly swings between extremely wet and extremely dry weather, driven by emissions of greenhouse greenhouse gases from humanity's burning of fossil fuels. The researchers analyzed more than 100 of the world's most populous cities, finding virtually all are seeing a distinct accelerating trend of rapid shifts between wet and dry extremes that severely strain critical infrastructure and make it more difficult for cities to both prepare and to recover.
We used to have such a nice planet.
But for Trump Energy Secretary Chris Wright, a former fracking CEO, the growing costs of human-caused global warming are no big deal. At his Senate confirmation hearing, Wright pretended to accept mainstream climate science.
Climate change is a global challenge that we need to solve.
But this week, at a major oil and gas industry conference in Texas, Wright called for increasing the production of fossil fuels that cause global warming, downplaying climate change as, quote, a side effect of our modern world. Wright also spread disinformation about renewable energy, which is actually now cheaper and faster to build around the world than fossil-fueled power plants. And he attacked the Biden administration's historic efforts to tackle climate change that challenged China's dominance of the global clean tech sector and spurred a renaissance in U.S. domestic manufacturing.
The Trump administration will end the Biden administration's irrational quasi-religious policies on climate change that imposed endless sacrifices on our citizens. The cure was far more destructive than the disease.
That's the guy who was characterized as a climate realist during his confirmation hearings?
Yeah.
Okay.
Wright conveniently omitted the downsides of climate change, like the increasing frequency and intensity of deadly heat waves, droughts, fires, and floods that cost the U.S. hundreds of billions of dollars every single year. A recent study estimated that the global costs of adapting infrastructure to accelerating climate impacts will likely cost trillions of dollars in developing countries alone by 2030.
Not to mention thousands of lives.
But some good news. Despite the Trump administration's broadside attacks on wind and solar power, the U.S. clean energy industry is on pace for record growth this year, according to the U.S. Energy Information Administration. In its new assessment this week, the EIA forecasts that the build-out of big solar, wind, and battery plants will hit an all-time high in 2025, accounting for more than 90% of new electricity generation.
Excellent. Let's see what happens in 2026. For much more on all of these stories and the ones we couldn't get to today, check out our website at greennews.bradblog.com. I'm Brad Friedman.
And I'm Desi Doyen.
And this has been your Green News Report.
I got that boom, 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 that future boom, boom, boom. Let me get it now.
Boom, 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 gotta get that boom, 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 gotta get that boom.
We got to get out. My thanks to our producer, Desi Doyen, and all of you for spending a portion of your day or night with us. If you missed any portion of today's show, download it for free anytime at bradblog.com, made possible by those of you who hit a donate button or go straight to bradblog.com/donate to help us stay on your public airwaves. Drop me email if you like. I'm bradcast@bradblog.com. On the social medias, especially Blue Sky, you will find me at The Brad Blog. You will find Desi at Green News Report. We'll see you there. Until we see you here next time, I'm Brad Friedman. Good luck, world.
Drop the beat.